light. And do you like where that is? All right, good. All right, here, V, you can take my phone then so I can put this in my pocket. So Caleb's not here, but you got Venu instead. So that's a good treat, too. Caleb's hopefully sleeping on a bus right now, a Greyhound bus. Last week, the Lord had a phone call come in right before he finished school, said, would you like to go on a cruise for free for a week? So he's been just sitting on a boat, playing in the water, having fun, eating, doing whatever for a week. And so we'll be picking him up tonight at the Greyhound station in Tampa. So he's been there. So, whoops, grab that. Uh-oh. Yep, I didn't bring my dreidel. At first I was thinking about speaking on Hanukkah, but then that changed all the last week. And so, all right, let's see. But they'll get the PowerPoint up. The first one is just to remind you that if you have more questions, things you want to ask me afterwards, then RabbiRonSpeaks.com is a website that I have, and there's a contact page, and so you can go there and communicate, ask me questions, tell me things. Facebook every Friday, Rabbi Ron Speaks is the way. Fridays mornings I send out a video, a 1-2 minute video, get a little teaching in there. And I've got to start to use the YouTube again. I did a trial and got it confirmed. I need to do that regularly, is do 1-3 minute evangelistic videos geared for Jewish people. And so this way, like when holidays especially come up and you want to engage a Jewish friend in conversation, what you can do is just remember, go to YouTube on Rabbi Ron Speaks, and there would be playlists for the different feasts. And you just sit there and ask a question to a friend, but you don't have to have the whole answer memorized. You can then just say, well, hey, listen, I've got a friend that made a quick little video. Can we watch it together? Just pull out your phone and then watch it together and then say, so what did you think? Tell me. And then you'll be able to have conversation, but you won't have to memorize all the answers up front. I can help do that. So, all right. So that's how you stay in touch. That's what how I'll use YouTube. There we go. So there's that. There's the picture of the dreidel. And I was going to speak on Hanukkah, but that changed. You can go to the next page. And the next one just has the Rabbi Ron Speaks. So you got to remember. So then, all right, go to the next page. What happened is I was wondering what to speak on, but I was going to do something with Hanukkah, but then President Trump changed things. And President Trump got the attention and made a statement about Jerusalem. I'm not certain. I know I like this picture. It's a picture of Jerusalem. And then not only that, but it's got the Israeli flag. So I know I like the picture, but I have no idea what the title should be. So is it Why All the Controversy About Jerusalem? Or could it be The Jerusalem Controversy? Or if you go on the next page, I don't know, Israel's Destiny with Jerusalem. So after service, if you have any thoughts, or in the next few days, if not, go to the website and contact me. I'm looking to figure out what the title should be. But go ahead there, President Trump, next page. He made this statement a few weeks ago, Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. And now, people always wonder, is Trump saying the truth or not? But this time we know he was. Absolutely, for sure, he was speaking the truth because the Word of God says it. And so, the Word of God says that Jerusalem is the capital. Well, if we go ahead the next time, right after that, what happened? CNN declared Trump's Jerusalem decision promises upheaval. CNN was real smart and alert and attentive. They figured that would happen. And sure enough, later the same day, a Middle East website declared death to America and Israel as thousands of Hezbollah supporters protest in Beirut. And so Trump has got the attention of the world. People are thinking and asking questions and talking about Jerusalem. And so I realized I need to start going after pastors and saying, listen, people are asking questions about Jerusalem, And so you need to bring me to come and address the questions and explain what the Bible actually says about Jerusalem. And so this is what I need to do. And so I'll be starting to next week to do that, to email pastors and saying this is timely. People are doing this. And so contact me. And so now, not only did Trump got CNN's attention, so many people, but the United Nations, they got concerned. And they called a session and said, we've got to take a vote on this. And I was starting to wonder, when that vote took place, did God call out, Yeshua, gather the angels. We need to get an emergency session in heaven. What do we do? What do we do? The UN is meeting now. And they might have been a little concerned. Were they concerned in heaven about this? No, we were reminded last night in Tampa, what does it say in Psalms 2? That why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand. The rulers gather together in the United Nations. But what did the Lord do? How does he respond when all this happened? It says he sits on his throne and he laughs. He's just sitting around heaven laughing right now at the United Nations. He's not getting all excited and alarmed and concerned. What do we do? What do we do? He takes the United Nations a lot less seriously than even we do. They're not doing that much these days. And he knows that, and see, he's just sitting back laughing. It doesn't bother him one bit because he knows he's on the throne. And therefore, it's what he wants to do is what will happen. And so, but the United Nations is gathered, and even as well this week to discuss things. Well, you know, it wasn't just when Trump opened his mouth that the people got antagonistic towards Israel. Sadly, this has been going on ever since there have been people on the earth. And so if you go to the next slide there, you've got what on the top right there? Pharaoh enslaved the children of Israel years ago, made their lives bitter with forced labor. Haman plotted to kill the Jewish people. He not only plotted to kill them, but he actually sent out a message to all the king's provinces, given an order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jewish people on the 13th day of the month of Adar, plunder their goods. And he sent a copy of that command to this law to every province and made it known to the people in every nation so they could join in and partner with Haman in this attack against the Jewish people. And then in 70, Rome went ahead and gathered together to attack Jerusalem. Now, let me see, what am I going to do here? I can't read my print, and I can't read that one from that far back. Let's see, maybe I can read here. What did I actually see? Not only that, but there's a guy named John Chrysostom, who was a church father, lived from 354 to 430. So about the year 400, quite some time ago, he said the Jews are dogs. Stiff-necked, gluttonous drunkards. The synagogue is worse than a brothel and a drinking shop. It's a den of scoundrels, a temple of demons, the cavern of devils, a criminal assembly of the assassins of Christ. I hate the Jews because they violate the law. It's the duty of all Christians to hate the Jews. Around 400, this was declared, a church father. And then what do you have? There's a book there entitled Conversos, Inquisitions, and the Expulsion of the Jews from Spain. So that took place, and I look at this picture, the print looks like Russian to me, something of that nature, and there is a Jewish stereotypical man taking people, putting them in his machine, and just using them to make himself money. You just type in the words anti-Semitism in Google Images, and you can find pictures like that galore. You go ahead here, what do we have? A picture of a Jewish man in the eyes of the world holding a Talmud. And what does it say about it? That it's what? The recipe book of the devil. The Talmud. And so you've got that picture, and go ahead. I've got a picture of the Holocaust. I could have found a whole lot more horrible looking pictures. But there you can just see how malnourished they are. And the Holocaust destroyed so many. And here is a picture. This actually, years ago, going back even further, people were saying European Jews cast lots every year for an animal sacrifice of a Christian child at Passover. First time this took place was in 1144. This action was called a blood libel. This particular picture, September 2015, a United Nations teacher in Jordan posted this on Facebook, showing a Jew with an American fork cutting up and eating a Palestinian child while drinking his blood. Referencing back to the blood libels began in 1144, the first accusation. Trump didn't get the world excited for the first time. This has just been a history. We could spend all day just looking at pictures in Google Images of just what the world says and thinks about the Jewish people. And so, but this is a relevant topic. So what does it mean? It provides an opportunity for us to engage people in conversation and to actually address it and declare the truth and to speak about this. Why all this controversy? Now, today I'm just barely going to scratch the surface. I imagine it's going to be a 2 to 4 week series by the time I finish. I forwarded some notes to Rabbi Steve from Tampa at Monday. He sent me back several more scripture references. I just briefly mentioned Psalm 2. I think most of that, I'll have several verses from that chapter I'll have to address. He sent me Zechariah 8. I looked at that one. I think the whole chapter I'll be able to just share some beautiful tidbits on. I've got 10 pages of notes already on a Word document. I gather I'll have several more by the end of next week. And so it'll be a whole series. I have no idea how far we'll get today. But just to begin to look at this, the controversy. A few years ago, when I did start to think about Israel and Jerusalem, about gathering some thoughts together to share, my son Ravi told me that when I do this, that I should really begin with Joshua chapter 5. So if we can go there to the next slide. When he told me I needed to start there, I figured I probably should listen to the kid. He knows what he's talking about. And then when I read the text, I understood why he told me to go there. Joshua was near Jericho, and he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And he went up to him and he said, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And how did this man respond? "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come." The commander of the Lord's army said, "I don't take sides in these matters." But then, just literally 3 verses later in the Bible, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and the fighting men." And so what we see is the Lord doesn't take sides. The Lord loves Israel, but that doesn't mean he hates the Arabs or anybody else on earth. He doesn't hate other people just because he loves one. He created all people, so he loves us all. But the Lord loves us all. But at the same time, since he's God and the creator of the heavens and the earth, he is free to give any particular land to anybody he so chooses. He's free to do that. The very first words in the Bible Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Since he's the creator, he owns every piece of land here on earth. And he's free to do with it as he chooses. He's free to give it to anyone he desires. And so why all this controversy? Does it matter if the Jewish people live in the land of Israel or not? Does it really matter? And so we need to look at the scriptures. And so let's go and begin with Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land that I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so there are four things that were highlights to me when I looked at this text. Number one, go to the land, I'll show you. God says, Abram, you've been just camping out for a long time. You've not been home. You don't have a place to call home. And he said, it's time now, I'm going to give you a home. The second thing is, God will bless Abram's children and make them a great nation. Israel is blessed by God. He loves everyone, but he has chosen to bless the children of Israel. He blessed Abram, and Genesis 17, 19 says it's going to go through Isaac, and then Genesis 28, 13, the blessing will go through Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel. And so Israel is blessed by God. But there's another reason. Why is Israel blessed? Blessed to be a blessing. Israel is blessed to be a conduit, a channel, a means for which God to bless all people on earth. Now, Yeshua is the greatest blessing. He is a Jew from Israel, and so he is the greatest blessing this earth has ever known. But as well, he has given the nation of Israel to be a blessing. And if you look at history, it is so true. Israel, the people of Israel, have created so many things in science, medicine, technology, that the world would not want to live without today. We have been a blessing to the earth. But as well, we need to remember, Paul addressed this, 2 Corinthians 8:14, at the present time, your surplus over your necessities is going to supply the needs of other people, so that at some other time, their surplus can be given to supply your needs. God gives people extra money, food, resources, so that we can share them with other people when they have need as well. And so we need to remember that. God blesses us not so we can hoard it and keep it to ourselves, but so that we can share it with other people in their time of need. Always remember that. You are blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And then the last thing in Genesis 12, God says people on earth will be treated based on how they treat the people of Israel. People who bless Israel, God will bless. People that curse Israel, God will curse. And if you just look at the history of planet Earth, once again you see God's word is true. That is what happens. Nations that bless Israel, God blesses. And when they choose to curse people, Israel, God curses. And so it is very important to remember that as well. Well, God then in the scriptures in Genesis goes ahead and he actually gets into a geography lesson explaining what piece of land he's literally giving the Jewish people. Let me just read 17:8. The whole land of Canaan, he tells Abram, where you now reside as a foreigner, I'm going to give you as an everlasting possession. Everlasting possession. You will possess it. It belongs to you, and it belongs to you forever. Now, there have been times, I'm sure, that people who don't care for Israel or care for God say, oh, it appears we have a problem with the Bible. It appears there are mistakes in the Bible. It appears, but it's not true. Rome, we saw in the year 70, destroyed Jerusalem. They took control of the land. They ruled the land. And from then until 1948, different nations have ruled the land of Israel. And so people, in their ignorance, in their lack of knowledge, have sit there and said, oh, it appears that the Bible is wrong. Or it appears that God was not capable of keeping his promise and doing what he wanted to do. But that is not true. If we go to the next slide, in Leviticus chapter, let me just read chapter 26, verse 33. God told the children of Israel, when you sin, I'll scatter you among the nations and draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land, Israel, be laid waste. The cities will be in ruins. So not only did Israel get cast out of the land, but God says he's the one that did it. He drove them out because of sin. You see, Israel, especially Jerusalem, is God's eternal home. And God said, if you're sinning, you're not staying in my house. And so God himself drove the Jewish people out of the land of Israel. But that's not where the story ends. The verses you then see here now, God continued and said, but if you'll confess your sins and the sins of your ancestors, their unfaithfulness and hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them, so I sent them into the lands of their enemies, sent them into captivity. Then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin, we'll be accountable and we'll have to pay for our sin. God says, I will remember my covenant with Jacob or Israel, my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. They will pay for their sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Yet in spite of this, when they're in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or abhor them so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant. Why? Because that would break my covenant with them. I am the Lord their God, but for their sake, I will remember my covenant with their ancestors whom I brought out of Egypt in the sight of the nations to be their God. I am the Lord, master and owner of everything. God says that the Jewish people would be removed from the land of Israel, but it would only be temporary, brief, short-lived. They will suffer, but they will never be completely destroyed. God promised he would never break his covenant with Israel. And he specifically brought up the land, the earth, when promising to restore them. And so It is true, the Jewish people at times throughout history have not always been in the land, but God already addressed this many years ago. It is their possession, but when they sin and ignore me, I will temporarily move them out. But once we humble ourselves and confess and say, yeah, God, I was wrong, and we repent and we turn away from our sin, God says, I'm bringing you back. Because it's your possession. The land belongs to us. In Psalm 89, God addresses this again. And if we look at verse 34 on the next slide, in the NIV it says, I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Or in the Good News it says, I will not break my covenant with him or take back even one promise I made. God clearly says he will never break or do anything against his covenant with Israel. He will never take back or change in any way the covenant he made. This means the children of Israel will always possess the land. When we confess and we repent and turn back, God chooses to remember our sins no more. He pulls out his eraser and he erases those sins in his book of records, in the book of life, and they're gone. But when it comes to his covenants, making a covenant, a promise, erases are not allowed. Promises can never be erased or deleted. Never. God says, like Yul Brynner, so let it be written. So let it be done. That's it. If he says it, it will be done. You don't get to challenge the king. He has all authority. Ezekiel 36, if we move on there. I will take you, Israel, from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. And you'll live in the land I gave your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. The land is going to say, welcome home. And they did that in 1948. Welcome home. 2,600 years ago or so, Ezekiel prophesied about the physical and spiritual rebirth of Israel. He said, God said he would bring the Jewish people back to the exact same land he gave our ancestors. He used the words, your own land. The Living Bible says, I will bring you back home again. Home, sweet home, is Israel. And especially Jerusalem itself. Home, sweet home. Other nations cannot take the land away from the Jewish people and say, listen, I know a really good realtor. He'll find you a great deal and get you some better piece of land. No, there is no other land. We don't need a realtor. God already gave us the land, and the title deed is in our name. It is ours forever. And so, on the next page, May 14th, 1948, we were welcomed home. And hopefully, Israel will not sin so bad that God will have to temporarily send them on a little trip again. But that piece of land, and not anything else, that land is home, sweet home. When people disobey God, they will be punished. Israel was, we can. People have harmed and hurt the Jewish people. Haman, Hitler, hordes of other horrible people have hurt us over and over again. But God will never let anyone completely destroy the Jewish people or keep our land forever. A few times in the Bible, God says he will remember his covenant with Israel. He will remind himself, not that he forgets. We do. He doesn't. But he keeps reminding. I don't even know if it's so much remembering himself, he's reminding the world. Declaring once again, reminding us of the truth. Possessing the land of Israel is part of God's covenant with the Jewish people. The people and the land are inseparable. Inseparable. In Jeremiah 3, we read that God sent the children of Israel away because of sin. But he entered into a covenant relationship with them. And so God told Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel, "Return, faithless Israel. Declares the Lord, I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. Just be honest. Say it with your mouth. You've rebelled against the Lord your God. You've scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and not obeyed me. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband." Even while they were in sin and rebellion and unfaithful, he looks at the Jewish people and says, "I'm your husband. I will choose you, one from a town, two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. And then I'll give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." And the next slide continues, "In those days when your numbers have increased greatly in the land, declares the Lord, people will no longer say, 'The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord.' It will never enter their minds or be remembered. It will never be missed, nor will another one be made. At that time, they will call Jerusalem," what? "The throne of the Lord. And all nations, not just Israel, will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. In those days, the people of Judah will join the people of Israel, and together they'll come from a northern land to the land I gave your ancestors as an inheritance." God has invited the Jewish people to go home, to return to him first and foremost, to return to God. He's our husband, and he wants to be with us. He knows that they were faithless, but that never changes the fact that he will always be faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself." This is good news for Israel and every person on earth. God is faithful. He will deal with sin. When we sin and disregard him, he will deal with our sin. But his love for us never changes. He will always plead with Israel and everybody on earth to return to him. He will always do that. And as soon as we confess our sin and repent, God will welcome us home with welcome arms. He will welcome us back. This is the land that he says it is Israel's inheritance, that he gave our ancestors. It's our inheritance. It is land that we biblically have a right to and we are entitled to possess. One more scripture, I think. Let's go. Well, no, but there's two more. Let me quickly read. Yeah, good. I love this scripture. It's beautiful. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar? The Lord Almighty is His name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. What did God say? Only if these three things happen will Israel not be a nation again. What are the three things? If that sun stops shining, and the moon and stars stop shining at night, and if the sea stops making the waves roar, all three of those things have to happen. And if those three things happen, then Israel will cease to be a nation. But the sun is still shining. Last night, the stars and the moon were shining, and I expect to see them again tomorrow. And every time you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and you see those waves roaring, they are a reminder Israel is still a nation. Israel is still a nation. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. God is on the throne. It doesn't matter who's in the United Nations or any other capital city on planet Earth. The only thing that matters is God is on the throne. And this is what He says. Israel will always be a nation. And so listen, this is not just about Israel. Let me close reminding us this, that it's not just about Israel. It's really about God. Because God made other covenants as well with all people on earth at Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. And it's about the character of God. If God was to break His covenant and promise with Israel, then nobody would have any confidence in God keeping their covenants, God keeping His promises. And so as we look at the scriptures about Israel, we're reminded even more than what the truth is about the people of Israel, even more so we're reminded about the truth of God Himself. That when God makes a promise, He will always keep it. And so every promise you see in the Bible, you are assured when you see Israel, you are reminded that God keeps His promises. Every one of them. And that is good news for all the earth. And so, God, thank You. Thank You for Israel. Thank You for the sun, the moon, the stars, and the waves. And every time we see every one of those, they point us to You. To You, the Creator of the heavens and earth. It reminds us that Your Word is always true because You sit on the throne, the only throne that really matters. And so God, thank You that every day we see Israel, every day we see the sun, moon, stars, and waves, we are reminded that You are the King over all the earth and that Your promises will always be true and come to pass. And that is good news. that we all need to hear. Thank you for your love, that even when we sin and ignore you and reject you, you remain faithful. Your love never fails. And every day you are pleading with those, come home to me. Come back. Return. And so, Lord, if there's anyone in this room today that has been unfaithful and that is running or hiding, let him hear those words clearly right now. Return to me, says the Lord. Come home. I love you still. I love you still. Let those words cause people to stop, to confess, to be truthful, and to turn around and run back to you. I just ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you for inviting me and allowing